I'm Howie Silberger. Welcome to Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. You could reach me by emailing me, howie@israelnewstalkradio.com, and I will answer your emails, maybe even read them on the air. That's a possibility. I am absolutely not shocked at all, not even a little shocked, that two Israeli workers at the Israeli embassy, two Americans, were shot dead in front of the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. this week. Doesn't shock me at all. We've been leading up to this. We've been talking about this for months. We've been talking about this for a couple of years already, that the level of anti-Israel rhetoric and the level of anti-Jewish rhetoric that's been bantied around by our politicians, by our media, by your average person, is eventually going to lead to the actual globalization of the Intifada, allowing people to yell on the streets, gas the Jews, kill the Jews, allowing people to run through the streets yelling globalize the Intifada without a backlash, without a comment, without any outrage, will 100% lead to the murder of Jews. And it has. So in Washington, D.C., on Wednesday night, two young Jewish people were standing in front of a museum and they were shot dead by a man who yelled Free Palestine. Here is what the affidavit states from the police who reviewed the surveillance video from before, during, and after the shooting, which happened outside the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. Police said that the video shows a slim person wearing a blue jacket with a hood, a large dark-colored backpack, blue pants, and light-colored shoes, which were consistent with clothes worn by the 31-year-old man who was arrested, who came from Chicago, Illinois. He drove all the way from Chicago to Washington to commit these murders. The man was seen walking towards the museum where Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram were standing. Once the man who police identified in the affidavit as the man they arrested, I'm not going to name him because we should remember the names of the victims, not the names of the terrorists. Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram died in this attack, which the police are calling a first-degree murder case, which should be labeled as terrorism. But we'll get to that a little later in the show. So the man who police identified as the man they arrested walked past the two victims and the two witnesses. He turned to face their backs, brandished a firearm from his waistband. He is captured on a video extending both arms in the direction of the decedents and firing several times as indicated by the muzzle flashes. The affidavit reads, quote, once the descendants fell to the ground, the man is captured on video advancing closer to the deceased, leaning over them with his arm extended and firing more shots into them. One of the victims attempted to crawl away from him. The affidavit shows, and he followed behind her and fired again. After a brief moment, he appeared to reload his firearm, police allege, noting that the victim sat up. After being shot a few times, the victim sat up. After reloading, the affidavit alleges, he then fired several more shots at the victim. He was then seen jogging back towards the entrance of the museum. Investigators recovered 21 expanded 9mm cartridge casings, a firearm magazine, and a 9mm handgun with its side locked, police said, which indicates there was no additional ammunition in the magazine. The Bureau of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms and Explosives said a trace summary report of the 9mm handgun recovered from the scene indicates that the man purchased a gun in Illinois on March 6, 2020. Now, of course, some Democratic lawmakers came out and condemned the murders. And the Canadian government condemned the murders. And the U.S. government condemned the murders. But who's going to take responsibility for the murder of these kids, these young people? Who's going to take responsibility? Is it the media that passed globally reported a blood libel just earlier in the week, just on Monday, claiming that 48,000 children will be dead because Israel's withholding aid. They had 48 hours or some ridiculous story like that. A blood libel? Are they to be blamed, the media, for spreading blood libels against Israel and villainizing the Jewish people? Is it the campus that's to be blamed? Universities? Do we blame them for allowing radicalization to happen on their premises and not stopping the Jew hatred on their campuses? Is it politicians? Perhaps the Prime Minister of Canada, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and the Prime Minister of France, who released a statement earlier this week stating that they will commit sanctions, they will impose sanctions and other pressure on Israel if the war in Gaza continues. Or maybe it's also the Canadian government again. And I know we keep talking about Canada, but they are really anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. The Canadian government is one of the most terrible governments in the world when it comes to anti-Israel rhetoric and anti-Israel standing. Maybe it's the Canadian government who condemned Israel outright, nationally, internationally, for Israeli soldiers firing warning shots at diplomats who broke the safe zone. They walked into a secured area without permission around the military zone. Not a thing you want to do in a active war zone. The continued villainization of Israel, the continued turning Israel into the villain, has created an atmosphere where Jews are targets, where Jews are the targets of Jew haters, and they're open targets. This man who yelled Free Palestine before he shot and killed two people had no qualms about doing it. He didn't even think twice. He walked past him. He picked his target, turned around, and killed his target. And even when the woman survived, he went and shot her again and again and again until she was dead. Now, we could mourn and we could stand and we could rip our clothing and we could scream and we could yell. But at the end of the day, the fate of these two innocent people who were murdered in a terror attack, I'll call it a terror attack. The government doesn't want to call it a terror attack. The man's not going to be charged with terrorism. But the two people murdered in this terror attack, Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram, deserve to be remembered. They didn't do anything. In fact, the kicker of this whole thing is that the conference they were at the Jewish Museum was a conference that was discussing with young lawmakers or potential lawmakers or people who work for lawmakers. They were discussing the prospects of encouraging the Israeli government to allow more aid into Gaza, to trying to help the Gazan people. Now, it's no great surprise that Hamas and Hamas supporters, like the murderer who committed the terror attack in Washington, like the Prime Minister of Canada, like many other Hamas supporters, it's no great surprise that they would kill people who support their cause. On October 7th, we saw that, didn't we? Where all the communities that were attacked by Hamas, the 1,300 people who were killed by Hamas, were all Jewish radicals who were fighting for Gaza, who were trying to help the Gazan people, who were activists condemning their own government's treatment of Gaza and encouraging a peaceful coexistence between Gaza and Israel. And they were slaughtered with no remorse by the Gazans, because at the end of the day, we have to understand something that we don't point out often enough. We have to understand something that the media is not going to tell you. We have to understand something that we should know and we should understand. And the second we understand it, the second we believe it, the second we admit it, the solution to this problem would be much easier. We have to understand that this war between the Jews and the Arabs who are living in the region has nothing to do with land. The myth of a land war has to end. The Israeli government has to stop pretending it's a land war. The Arab Emirates, they funded terrorism for 50 years until they realized that it's more profitable to allow Jews to visit them than it is to terrorize them. The Arab League all have to stop pretending this is a land war. We know the farce is up, the game is up. It's totally up. This is not a land war. It never was a land war. Had this been a land war, then Yasser Arafat would have accepted 98% of the Judean Samaria that was offered to him. He would have accepted Jerusalem as the capital because that was what was offered to him. The 2% that was not offered to him, basically large settlement cities, they didn't really make up a huge portion of the land that he was asking for. He could have had his Palestinian state, but he walked away from the table. He walked away from the table because it had nothing to do with the land. Had it had something to do with the land, he would have accepted a deal. A Palestinian state would exist today. But he didn't accept the deal. He walked away because the land wasn't the important thing. Because the only condition that Israel put on them at the time, the only condition that Israel wanted, aside from a demilitarized zone, which would have made sense, the only other condition that Israel wanted was recognition, that he had to recognize the Jewish state and accept the fact it was a Jewish state in the Middle East. He walked away because he couldn't do that. He couldn't do that because Islam doesn't believe in giving up land. And since the Ottoman Empire, which was a Turkish Muslim empire, was a caliphate that controlled land right across the Middle East, all the way into Spain, because that caliphate existed, then that land is considered Muslim land forever. And anybody occupying the land, anybody setting up a government in the land that's not a Muslim government, is considered an infidel and must be destroyed. And that is what is happening. And that is the entire crux of the war. That is the entire crux of the Arab-Israel conflict that nobody wants to admit. Because once you admit that, once you recognize that this is not a land war and squabbling over 1 mile or 5 miles of land or an olive field or whatever is just a farce, it's never going to lead to peace. Once you realize that, then you can start working on what you really need to work on, which is essentially the separation of populations. The same way there are no Jews living in Arab lands, all the Jews have been thrown out of Arab lands, all the Jews have been removed from Arab lands forcibly and without their belongings and with no compensation, the same thing should happen with Israel, should have happened in 1948. David Ben-Gurion made a huge mistake. Should have happened in 1967. Moshe Dayan made a huge mistake. But now it has to happen. Now there's no choice. The separation of population must happen. And once the population separated, the Israelis could live in peace. And the Arabs could live in peace in their land. But you see, unfortunately, that can't happen, that Israel could live in peace. Because as long as radical Islam, as long as the Islamic law says that any land occupied by a caliphate is Islamic land forever, and anybody who sets up a government on that land has to be destroyed, they're considered infidels and must be destroyed, Israel will be perpetually at war with Islam. Not hard to figure out. There's the crux of the problem. And so you have intifadas, uprisings. You have BDS trying to destroy Israel from internally. You have intifadas trying to destroy Israel externally. You have wars. You have terror attacks. And suddenly it leaks over into the Jewish community. Because Jew haters suddenly realized that if we criticize Israel, we could mask our Jew hatred with hatred of Israel. That will give us the right to stand in the middle of the street and yell. In Sydney, Australia, you can stand in the middle of the street and yell. The Jews have, you know, burned them in the ovens. Send them back to the ovens. Hitler didn't finish the job. It allows a choir of people, well, first of all, before that, it allows Kanye West, a rapper, to release a song on a major label titled Heil Hitler, and allows a chorus of people to stand on Hollywood Boulevard and sing the song all afternoon. It allows for the vilification of Israel and the Jewish people in every city across the world. It allows for the attacks, the indiscriminate attacks on Jews, and it allows for the killing, the murder, the terrorist attack against Yaron Lachinsky and Sarah Lynn Milgram in front of a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C. We're living in a time where Jews are not safe anywhere. We're living in a time where the Jewish community, and I'm talking the global Jewish community, has no idea how to stop this. This tremendous run of Jew hatred. We're living in a time where the state of Israel, wounded from that terror attack on October 7th, is trying to eliminate the terror group that attacked him and getting condemned for it. We live in a time where everybody's a victim except for the Jews. The Jews are not allowed to be victims. We live in a time where court Jews sit in governments, and allow their anti-Semitic task leaders to do whatever they want and say whatever they want, and try to placate the Jewish community. I have your back, they tell you. But they don't. It's not true. They don't have your back. We live in a time where strong Jews have to stand up and have to show who they are, where fear can't factor in. We live in a time where we have to tell ourselves, we have to tell everyone we know, that we stand with Israel, we stand with Judaism, and we are not going to allow this to happen again. We've lived through a Holocaust. We've seen this before. We've seen this movie before. And we are not going to allow this to happen again. We must make those words real. We can't have hollow words anymore. You know, the chant, never again, never again, for the last 40 years have been hollow. And I don't like the slogan, never again is now. I hate that slogan. And I'll tell you why. I hate the slogan as much as I hate the slogan, bring them home. Two horrible slogans. Bring them home means that we have a responsibility to go in there and get them. The hostages, the 58 hostages that are still being held by Hamas. We don't have that responsibility. They have the responsibility to release them. We are taking the onus of them releasing the hostages off of them by saying we have a responsibility to go and get them. The slogan should be, let my people go. It's an old one. Classic. We shouldn't be begging. We should be demanding. We shouldn't be standing around crying. We should be angry. We should be in the streets. We should be screaming and yelling. Let our people go. Stop killing us. We shouldn't be hiding our Israel rallies in Jewish neighborhoods. We should be out there in the middle of downtown. We shouldn't be afraid. But the Jewish communities around the world are. We shouldn't be spending billions of dollars to create moats and fortresses for our Jewish community. We shouldn't have to do that. But everywhere in the world, Jewish communities are spending millions and billions of dollars increasing security because the threat is real. It's a scary time. It's a horrifically scary time. And it's legitimate for people to feel scared. It's legitimate for people to say, hey, one second. They were standing outside a museum, minding their own business, when a guy walked by and just shot them. That's a scary thing to happen. But yet the same people who are standing in fear are re-electing court Jews into governments. The same people who are sitting in fear are the ones who are saying, don't go onto the streets. It's too dangerous. Don't reclaim the land. Don't reclaim the property. Don't reclaim our right to live in freedom. Don't reclaim our freedom of speech. It's dangerous. These are the same people. And the court Jews that are sitting on governments around the world and supporting the Jew haters and placating the Jewish community saying, I'm Jewish, you could trust me. You know, when someone tells me that I could trust them, they're the last person I trust. Someone tells me I'm honest, you could trust me. I don't trust them at all. If you were honest, you wouldn't have to tell me you were honest. If I could trust you, you wouldn't have to tell me I could trust you. We're living in very, very, very scary times. And the question is, what's the solution? There will be more rampant killings of Jews in North America and around the world. More indiscriminate attacks on the Jewish community, more murders of Jews. And the reason for that is that the Washington police are charging this murderer with first-degree murder instead of terrorism. The act of terror could send a terrorist to Guantanamo Bay. The act of terror, the charge of terror, could actually lead to some kind of justice. But the governments won't charge under terror legislation. Not against Jews. They'll charge everyone else into terror legislation, but not Jews. Not people who attack the Jewish community. So a man who stands in front of a Washington museum yells Free Palestine and shoots two Jews dead. It's not considered a politically motivated crime. It's a hate crime. It wasn't a hate crime. It was politically motivated. He yelled Free Palestine before he shot them. That's a politically motivated crime. Politically motivated crimes, when you kill innocent civilians, is called terrorism. That's the definition of terrorism. A terrorist is a person who kills civilians to make a political point. Tries to make the point out of fear. Accept my point of view, or I will kill you. This is a terrorist. A freedom fighter, and let's not confuse the two because they are very different. A freedom fighter attacks military installations, attacks governments. Freedom fighters don't attack civilians because they're attacking civilians. Who are they freeing? They attack governments. They attack oppressive governments and try to overthrow governments. If you're attacking civilians, innocent civilians, then you're a terrorist. And if you support those kind of attacks, you're a terrorism supporter. I saw plenty of posts online saying, hey, you know, Israel's murdering Gazans, so you know, they deserve to die. You're a terrorist supporter. They should be arrested. People who post this stuff should be arrested and charged with abetting terrorism, supporting terrorism, encouraging terrorism, promoting terrorism. So many different things that they could be charged with, that they should be charged with. There should be consequences for promoting, advocating, and pushing for the attack on the Jewish community. There should be more consequences. There must be more consequences. Charging a man with first-degree murder for killing two people. Yelling free Palestine and killing two people. It's insane. Allowing Kanye West to release a song called Heil Hitler is totally insane. Allowing a group of 9 people to stand on the street corner and sing the song, yelling Heil Hitler all afternoon in California without being arrested. Let me ask you this. And answer this honestly. Think about an answer honestly. Do you think for 1 second that if a group of 9 white men stood on the corner and sang a song about putting blacks into slavery or murdering blacks and using derogatory terms for black people, do you think for 1 second they'd be allowed to stay there for 3 hours? Do you think if a group of people started rallying and protesting and running into the street yelling, kill the blacks, Jim Crow laws, we need them back, or anything else that had to do with slavery or the oppression of the black people, do you think that this would be happening for 3 years, 5 years, 6 years? Of course not. Of course not. Governments would be beside themselves. They'd be bending over backwards trying to end it. But aside from that, the black community would be destroying the country. Remember Black Lives Matter? That's what would be happening. Because people are not going to put up with this kind of racism. People aren't going to put up with this kind of hatred. Nobody puts up with it, except for the Jews. I suppose because the Jews are an easy target, they get attacked. Because they know that the Jews aren't going to kick back. The Jews aren't going to start lighting buildings on fire. The Jews aren't going to start rioting in the streets. Maybe it's time for the Jewish community to stop being passive. Maybe it's time for the Jewish community to start being practical, to start being proactive, to start taking a stand, to start fighting. And sure, you're sitting in your chair right now and you're listening to me, you're saying, Howie, I agree with you 100%. But what are you going to do about it? You're not going to, I'm just waiting for the next guy to start it up. No, what are you doing about it? If you agree with every word I'm saying tonight, if you agree with every single word I said on the show, what are you going to do to change things? Change starts with one person. It doesn't start with a group of people. It doesn't start with a community. It starts with one person who has the strength, the fortitude to stand up against what community believes and fight for what's right. Someone with vision who can stand up and fight. Now, if there's more than one person, great. There's a strength in numbers. but it must be done. We can't sit idly by and allow this to happen. More and more Jews are going to die because the inaction of the governments to protect the Jewish community is insanely lax. They're not doing anything. The Canadian government had made an announcement today that they're going to start bubble legislation, which will allow them to ban protests around religious institutions and schools. Yay. This wasn't a protest. A man just walked up and shot people in front of the building. The province of Ontario in Canada already passed the legislation and expected to pass throughout the entire country. It's not going to help. It's not going to help. And it's going to take a really long time to get this hatred out of the community. You know, the only thing that's going to help, the thing that we have to start with, is holding our media responsible for what they're reporting. So the other day, I was watching the news report that 48,000 Palestinian babies are going to die because Israel's withholding aid. The day after that report, it was the first thing on the news, the first report on the news. The day after that report, the United Nations, the report said that the United Nations said this. The day after that report, the United Nations said, wait a second, those numbers were wrong and this is not true. And they backed off. They backpedaled. Which is fine with me, because when you're going to lie and you get caught in your lie, you're going to have to back up. But the media didn't report it. The media that put it splashed across their front pages and had its leading story for 24 hours that Israel was responsible for the murder of 48,000 Palestinian babies. That they were going to die because of Israel's inaction in allowing aid through the border. When it was proven non-true, the story was proven non-true, the media remained silent. Because if you can't malign Israel, because if you can't create a blood libel against the Jewish people, then might as well just shut up. Might as well just not talk. And if something happens and you made a mistake, there's no backtracking on your mistakes when it comes to Israel. Because nobody cares, because the villainization of Israel is ongoing. It's not right. It's not fair. That's the way it is. Do we have to accept this? Probably not. But we will. Because the Jewish community accepts this stuff. They don't back down. They back down, excuse me. They back down. They should not back down, but they do back down. In the name of political correctness, in the name of getting along for neighbors, give me a break. If our neighbors wanted to get along with us, they would stop trying to kill us. If our governments wanted us to live in peace, they would stop encouraging people to attack us. It's really mind-blowing that we're at this point in history where Jews have nowhere to go. Well, today we do, actually. I was going to say Jews have nowhere to go, but the truth is that we have somewhere to go. We have our own state. We have our own country. And yes, it may be under attack right now. And yes, it may be a little bit at war, but it still belongs to the Jewish nation. We should never be afraid to go there. We should never be afraid to settle the land, to live in the land, and to live under a Jewish army. An army dedicated to saving and fighting for the Jewish people. Life in North America, life in Europe, has come to an end for the Jews. We've outlived our welcome. It's time to go home. It's time for Hamas to release the hostages. Time for the governments of Western democratic countries to actually condemn Jew hatred. And it's time for the media to stop promoting blood libels. And it's time for us all to live together in peace and harmony. I know, it's probably wishful drinking. Wishful thinking. Wishful dreaming, as they say. Howie Selberger, this is Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you again next week, right here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget to check out the website, IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And you can always email me. You have a comment, you have a question, you want to talk to me, no problem. Email me, Howie at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.